What's going on, everybody? This is Abby here with another episode of Modern Day Unicorns. And today, I have somebody that I have just recently met, but now we are family. And I have Stacy, let me say it correctly, Maredor. Stacy Maredor, she's all the way from New Zealand, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to have her introduce herself and everything that she's doing. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you so much, Abby. Kia ora, everybody. My name's Stacy Maredor Roberts, and I am from Aotearoa, New Zealand, at the bottom of the world or the top of the world, depending on how you look at it. I am a transformational speaker, coach, and newly written author, and I'm just so excited to be here with you, Abby, and have a conversation and share some experiences and add some value where I can.
That's so exciting, and thank you once again for being here with me today. Now, you told us that you're from New Zealand. You said that you are a speaker and a new author. So what I'm going to ask is take us back as far as you want to go. I'd love to know your journey and how you even got to this particular place. Would you share some of that with us?
Yes, it'll be my pleasure. So I guess my story really starts being a young girl growing up really strongly with my cultural roots, with the Māori people here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and so closely connected to my family ancestral house. We have a big shared house called a marae, an area where we all come and gather together. And there we learn our culture and we share food together. We just partake in cultural activities. And we host people we call manuhiri as well. So strongly standing in those roots, I went away to school here in Tauranga in New Zealand. And in that high school classroom, I heard back a history that didn't quite resonate with me and my understanding of how I was brought up. And I didn't understand it at the time, but something didn't feel right in my tummy. And so that led me to go back to our family historian and start asking some questions. And from there, it kind of took me on a journey to uncovering and delving into all these treasure boxes full of the richness of our history. And so from there, I went on a journey, decided to go to university, and I did both a law and a history degree at the time. And I graduated eventually with three degrees, a Bachelor of Law, a Bachelor of History, majoring in New Zealand Māori history, and a Master's of Law with first class honours in Māori Pacific and Indigenous Governance. And so at the time, and I actually won a Huia Publishing Prize, so that's essentially the top prize you can win for history, top of the class in history, and actually across the university. But at the time, I didn't take that up. I decided to pursue a career as a lawyer and go on, be admitted to the bar here in New Zealand and practice as a commercial lawyer. But my story takes a bit of a twist because that whole time that I studied and I went away there at 18, I was also a young mum. So my journey's been from young teenage mum to transactional lawyer to now transformational speaker and coach. And the thing that has really just given me that drive is my big boy, who's now 17, but also just that long-term vision of being able to stand in my own story. And so come full circle, more recently, I've written this book called Brooklyn Builds a Bridge, and it's a time for me, well, for all women and myself and my family in particular, to stand in our story. And so it bridges cultural connections between Māori people into other cultures, and it's just a safe bridging for that. So that's what I've been doing more recently. As we talked about prior, I've done some international speaking and I've been on some international circuits, and more recently with COVID I've done a lot of online speaking and coaching, and I have a powerhouse speakers coaching course, so pretty much just been delivering that. Very recently, we just had, like literally last week, our Wahine Summit, a women's summit, where I soft revealed for the very first time that children's book. So pre-orders are open now, but it's actually only been open a week.
That's amazing. And what a journey that you have had thus far. So one of the questions that I have from that is, as a practicing lawyer, right, and a mother, how did you move away from law to public speaking? Like how did you make that transition and decide to give that your all? Because I'm assuming that being a lawyer, it's probably pretty lucrative, but that is a major change. It's public speaking in a way, but now you're delivering a different type of message instead of like a defense and all that other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, it was a soft change. So this entire time, and actually one of my first paying clients as a professional speaker was the same university that I went to, because they asked me to come back and just drop some nuggets on how these studying mama in particular could be resilient. They were able to study and work and still complete their degrees. And so that pretty much was the seed of my professional career in speaking. And as I shared my message and my personal story more often, I got more and more engagements. And as the transparency of that, and as people watched my success or my wins over the years, it opened up numerous doors for more speaking engagements and grew my audience from there. So I kind of came to a tipping point where I'm absolutely passionate about the clients that I served in commercial law, but there was like a tension there. I was full-time commercial lawyer, and on the side, it was almost like a side hustle. I was getting speaking engagements that just filled me with so much joy and energy, not only to share my message and to share and impart knowledge, but actually for those who were on the speaking circuit with me and those who I was around. So I eventually, after our second child, Brooklyn, I eventually made the leap to go into it all in, pretty much, and decided to start stepping up little things like tidying up my one sheet and getting my speaker systems right. And yeah, it just really grew from there.
That's great. I love to hear people's kind of transformation story and how they've gone from something traditional into a more non-traditional role and are serving and walking in their full purpose. So that is amazing to hear. So could you walk us through maybe a challenge that you had to overcome with making either these decisions or transitioning into your career full time? What is something that you had to overcome that now you're just like, okay, it was worth it?
Ooh, I love that. So probably for me, I had already made the mindset shift. I already knew that this was my gift, that this is what I wanted to be doing and should be doing. I needed to commit to do it all in. I needed to commit to doing it, not just as a side hustle, but actually take it really seriously and actually start making it my full-time thing. And that also meant a lot of talking. And I used to pour into a lot of people for free, and that's just what I did. I just added value. I didn't exactly need the money either because I had a full-time job. So while I accepted professional speaking engagements, when I transitioned, there always needed to be a value exchange. Now, it wasn't always money, but typically there needed to be a decent value exchange. So my biggest challenge was actually going all in and then finding the right people for the right tools to assist me on that journey. And that was everything from branding and marketing to getting a website set up, to doing my speaker sheets and having it as a system. So I had the speaking engagements, a lot of just referrals, word of mouth, just the message got out, and all of that flowed to me really easily. But it was the speaker systems that I really needed to tidy up. And so that was a big challenge for me, because it meant that not only as a small business owner, not only did I have to focus on the speaking, I had to start focusing on the business of speaking. And that's when I started getting around more like-minded people and, yeah, creating courses and bringing the expertise of those people into my world.
You said some key words for me that got me excited, right? So first of all, you said value exchange. I'd love for you to give people an opportunity to understand that more, because a lot of times when you go into something, especially when it's your passion, it's not always money that motivates you. So there's different value exchanges that are out there, and I'd love for you to maybe bring up some examples so people can know what they can either ask for or leverage when they're being presented with these opportunities, especially when organizations or people say I don't necessarily have the money, what other things can bring a value? And then we'll talk about systems after you mentioned about that.
Oh, I love it. So for me, like, this is what really made my success, right? Like, I started on $2.75. I started from broke. So I didn't have anything. So we got resourceful in terms of how we went about speaking engagements. The first thing was actually speaking for free. And I still believe in that. I do still believe in speaking for free because of the return on value that can be had. And as we said, it's not all about the money. So I would speak for free, and in return, I might ask for, hey, can I just get a couple of photos? Or can you video my set? Or, you know, can you give me a testimonial at the end? Can you give me some, you know, some juice that I can repurpose and use later? Or would you, if you think it's good, will you refer me to a friend? And so for me, that didn't involve any cash. There was no cash flow exchange in that, and I was still absorbing quite a lot of that. When I started to incur expenses, like needing to get my content creation done or my branding and marketing, there was still a value exchange, and it wasn't always money. So, for example, if somebody has a skill that I could utilize that I didn't have in my wheelhouse, we would literally do a value exchange. I would teach them how to speak confidently from the stage, work on their mannerisms, their cadence, their pitch, the whole lot, the story craft, whatever it was. And in return, they might pop me out a logo or share my resources or start me a one sheet. So just things like that. It was about the value we added to each other. Another thing was just people giving me a platform to speak. So providing me with a venue room, providing me with a camera when I didn't have one, providing me with a mic, with a clicker for my PowerPoint, doing my PowerPoints for me in the back end so that literally I could just show up, turn up, put on my PowerPoint, and then be able to send that out after the speaking engagement. So there are so many things for me that's such a powerful point for me to share. You do need money, but you don't need money to start because it's about the value exchange.
Now I'm about to have a moment here, right? So when it comes down to it, I love it. And you mentioned systems as well. Oh, there we go. Let me fix this. This is what happens when you live edit, folks. But I love it. I love it. So here we go, right? So you talked about the value exchange and systems. And here is what I love about it, because I've recently been learning a little bit more about systems as well. Shout out to Connie Falls, right? In learning that, and now coupling that with the value exchange, if you have no idea what systems that you need in place, right? And this is systems from how you run your business. And you mentioned earlier as well about, like, you would speak for free, but then there's a difference between being a speaker and also running a business, right? And so those things are just different. But what the aha for me right now is that if my systems are not in place, if I don't know what I need, if I don't know how I'm running my business, I cannot create value for myself. I can't exchange value if I can't ask for a logo. If I can't voice, I need more content. Can you record me? If I don't know what I'm missing, the value that I could be getting is missed, and I might feel some type of way because I can't verbalize what I actually need. So I, like I said, you got me super excited just then. So you even having those systems in place to know, like, hey, this is what, you know, we can barter on. This is how you can receive value and I can receive value. That was clutch.
I love that. And another thing too is, like, when it happens so organically like that, you can really understand what the need is at that time. So even if you're starting out, even if you, you know, maybe you are transitioning from a free to a fee speaker, there are things you can do on that journey where you are to just polish up your engagements, to just get wider exposure. And what I love about where I started and starting from the grassroots, right from the bottom, is that I've learned along the way those core materials that you need but also how to do it faster and faster every time. So yes, you start to develop some systems, but you can always improve on those. You can always polish those up. And that's the beauty of the journey. And when you get to know what that system is, I think it's at that stage that you can really start to delegate out some of those things that aren't the best use of your time, or, and this is super important, are the parts where you're not fully operating in your gift. And so some of my team will tell you, like, speaking is my thing. I love to write as well. But actually all the systems work, the behind the scenes, the setup, the project management, I got no business doing that. So that's a part, as a small business owner, when you're working your way up, you need to do those things. But when you get to a point when you can shift that to someone else whose gift it is to literally do that, that's when things start to really flourish. And I've really enjoyed that journey, and it's still a journey for me. For example, the book is just, it's another resource, it's another tool, it's another value exchange that I'm able to offer those who I serve.
And that's a great point. Being able to do things and see where the needs are and be able to provide those and fill in those gaps is something that you have the opportunity to pay attention to, especially when you can set up all your systems and operate in your gifts to be able to, you know, do your thing. But if you're continuing to do everything, which I'm learning how to release the reins, like in this day itself, right? Learning to release the reins so I can pay more attention to what I actually do to operate in my lane. Now, what I want to do before I get more tips from you, because you've been dropping them on us today, I would like to know more about, I want to know more about that logo in the background you got there, right? So tell us more about what you got going on, and also please share with us the information about the book. I don't know if you have it on you and you can show it to us, but share more about that with us, please.
Oh, I'd love to. Listen, Ignite Your Gift, which way are we? This way. Ignite Your Gift is our company. So 120 Legacy Limited is the company name, but we trade as Ignite Your Gift. And the reason we do that is because we truly believe that is our purpose. And when I say we're a family. We operate as Māori in business. So we are an Indigenous company to New Zealand, operating from Tauranga, New Zealand, to the world. And essentially, we are a professional development company. So we specialize in transformational speaking, coaching, and empowering events. And then under that umbrella, we operate as ourselves. So I stand out in the world as Stacey Marero Roberts, and my expertise is in business brand and leadership development. So I get to operate in my gift within that umbrella. And so that's how that came to be. The sign, the logo, brand mark itself is representative of our ancestral mountain, which here is Māua, which also features in the book. And each side are like steps that it's called a potama, a Māori word for what they call the stairway to heaven. And it's about reaching those steps to your higher consciousness, to what we call your peak potential, to your leadership. It's a journey.
Excuse this quick interruption, but I have to stop here and make sure I give a shout out to Anchor. It's been the easiest way for me to make a podcast, and it has been free. That's right, I said free. It's a free creation tool that allows you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. Minimum setup required. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so you can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast and more. Make sure you go and download that Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started today.
And the gold colorway actually resembles the beauty of light, but also the sun's rays as it rises over this mountain. So when we talk about igniting your gift, we say your gift is the thing that you do with the least amount of effort. The least amount of effort. And if we can find that, then we help you ignite that. And so turning to the book, Brooklyn Builds a Bridge. I've got it here. See if I can hold it up. You can see that.
Yes, yes.
And this book is all locally based. There's that same mountain I was talking about just there. And if I open it up to the full cover,
It's beautiful.
That's the same one that features. And Brooklyn Builds a Bridge is this book that intends to show young children. So it's actually focused on allowing kids to really use their imagination and find their inner awesomeness and share their great gifts and ideas so that they can do more, have bigger impact, and help others. And there's a really important story in there about never giving up. So in terms of this book, the key kind of storyline is that Mama and Brooklyn, and I'll see if I can, there's Brooklyn there. Mama and Brooklyn end up taking a trip on their first day of school and end up underneath that sacred mountain Moho instead of school. And so Brooklyn has this grand idea to build a bridge. And so she enlists the help of some kaitiaki guardian friends who are local to the region, and they're called Kitty the Kiwi. So let me see if I can find these real quick. Some images from the book. Here she is. So that's Kitty the Kiwi. So she gets some rope from Kitty the Kiwi, and then they start weaving it together for strands for the bridge. And then she gets some more help here from Maku the Mangupare, and Maku helps her lay out this rope for the bridge. And then in come some dolphins, some ahi. And then Brooklyn asks them if they can help her stand up this bridge. Let me see. Wrong way there. There we go.
Yep, there we go.
And then those tuatara, and that troublesome tuatara, this is where it gets fun. They come in and they say, Brooklyn, but actually they say, yo, stop right there. You didn't think this through. You've run out of rope. Whatever will you do? So Brooklyn, she slouches down to sulk. And there in the sand is this octopus, this feke, stuck in a bottle. And she gets this glimmer of hope, and she jumps over all of these kaitiaki, and then she does this big bomb to get out this feke. And at the end of that, the feke gives her a gift, what we call a koha. And she starts to take all of the colors from and the elements from the environment and weave together a beautiful gift, and that's what becomes that bridge. And so that's a really quick glean of the story, but what's really important about the story is that it infuses local cultural understanding of the world, and that includes the personification of environmental features like our mountains and our rivers and our seas. And so at the back of this book, there are some teaching learning resources that kind of place where the story is. And something important about it is learning to identify and really start to break down the feelings of yourself. But through the book, as Brooklyn encounters different emotional encounters, there are feelings that come out of meeting new creatures, you know, getting stuck. And so how is she feeling? At the back, there's a wheel of feelings where you can, as a young student, just place, how am I feeling? Am I mad, scared, sad, happy? You know, how much deeper can I take that? Am I angry? Am I frustrated? And so there's a couple of resources at the back for that. And then there's something special in the book that just gives it, for me, in terms of my creativity, it just gives it that extra, which is making it a more multi-dimensional experience. And to do that, we've got a QR code just there. And so when you scan that QR code, it goes up to the website, which is brooklynbuildsabridge.com. And there, if you're not a great reader, or you don't have access to books, but you still want to know what the story's about, I'm going to record the whole story and you can read along with me as I read it to you. But there's also going to be a ton of resources about the physical location of some of the places that are mentioned in the book. So, for example, the mountain that I was talking about called Mawo, it means caught by the dawn or caught by the early light. And this book is entirely written in the dorm, literally from when Brooklyn wakes up and jumps on the bus to school. And so the beauty of that is that we get to start to talk about some of these cultural stories that are known in the region to us locally, but actually might be of interest and might have some value to others who are either living away or around the world, just like you, Abby. And so my joy and my love and passion is to be able to share in a really authentic way our culture with you and just hear your feedback and really just see if we can build some bridges.
I think that's beautiful. The illustrations and the entire story is wonderful. You know, me as a elementary educator or a former elementary educator, like I was just like, I can see my students really enjoying participating and learning more about the culture there. I'm going to ask you a couple more things about your culture as well, because we can see it. I'd love to know more about, I don't necessarily want to call them tattoos if that's not what they're called, but could you tell us a little bit more about culturally what you have?
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. What I'm wearing here on my chin is called a moko kowai, and it is a form of tattoo in a sense, but it's much deeper than that because it tells a story. So the difference for us in our Maori culture to getting a tattoo that's just put on the skin, it's a ritual. So it's about telling a story, either about me or where I come from and my wider family connections. And the chin tamoko, the one I've got here, moko kowai, is particularly for women. So only women wear this particular chin, wear it there. But none are the same. There is no one single moko kowai that is the same, unless it's a family heirloom, as such a gift handed down through generations of women to be able to carry the same one. And so it's quite a recent journey for me. I've had it just under a year through a cultural ceremony that was held at my ancestral marae that I talked about, our big communal home. And in there, we share a lot of songs from our Maori culture and a lot of karakia, which is prayer. And we all gather, and I gathered around a ton of beautiful wahine family members and my family, my husband and my kids, and my tamoko artist, who was Stu McDonald. And we lay on a bed, and around me are photos and songs and all of our cultural elements, and it's a real ritual. So it's such a process to receive. But as long as you have whakapapa, a connection to Māori culture, you can wear it. However, as you can see, it's quite a bold statement, and not everybody feels that they're confident enough or should wear it. But it's about, for me, reviving and standing in the world of who I am, because I have multiple lineages. But the Māori culture in particular, many years ago, was suppressed, you know, due to a number of reasons, what we call colonization. We weren't allowed to share our cultural gifts, and we weren't allowed to express our cultural expressions. And so it's about reclaiming and revitalizing that. And so my hope, and it's been like four generations removed where women wore moko kowai regularly. And so in my lineage, in my mum, her mum, there's about four generations of disconnect to this taonga, to this gift. And so it's just such a blessing for me to be able to wear. But there are so many other things in our Māori culture that we can share, like our words and their meanings. And in Māori culture, we might say one thing and it has a literal translation. And then, for example, mawau means caught by the light or caught by the dawn. But then it has a contextual meaning. And that mountain, we personify our mountain, so we call him he. He has a story about how he got there. So in our culture, we not only understand our connection to our mountains and the environment, the sea, the plants and everything around us, but we also understand the creation stories or the way that they came to be. So Māori culture is something special to us here in Aotearoa New Zealand, and our language in particular is something that is of high risk, and that's quite typical of Indigenous languages all around the world. And so we connect on that front. And so part of the book in Brooklyn Builds a Bridge is introducing some words, some small words, some key words from our local area to assist in the revival of that language. And that's been a journey for me and my family. My kids are in preschools where they speak the Māori language all day. So that's an immersion experience. And for me, I'm relearning.
That's amazing. And what a gift it is to be immersed in culture and relearning certain things and being able to share it with the world, especially with social media and all of the gifts that you do have to continue to expose it. I think exposure is one of the most underrated things that we have in this life that really changes the game for a lot of people. Stacey, you've shared so much with us, but I have to squeeze it out of you still. I would love for you to share three tips that you would give to anybody, however your heart desires to give it. It doesn't matter if it's for personal speaking or for book writing, but whatever you have on your heart to share with individuals in this day and age, I'd love for you to take that opportunity.
Oh, thank you, Abby. Whoo, where do I start? Look, for me, three tips, three things. I think it comes down to kind of the threads, you know, the weaves of what we've been talking about here today, Abby. And I think it's about finding your gift, to be honest. Like, it doesn't matter how you get there. Your gift is the thing that you do with the least amount of effort. And when you start to focus on that gift, if you take notes, if you start to go, hey, that brings me joy, I feel amazing doing that. Oh, that comes to me so effortlessly. Like, tip number one, take notice of those things and write them down. Keep a mental log of those, but actually physically write them down on paper, in your phone, anywhere you can think of. And I think over time, what you notice is those things repeat. And when you find that they repeat more and more, you can see that, you know, you're starting to operate more strongly in that. So my tip number one would be, and it is a hard one, but it's about, yeah, taking notice of those things that bring you joy and happiness and allow you to find your gift. The second one, as I kind of alluded to, was like focus on that. You're going to have to decide and commit, like, what is the thing? There's going to be a few of them, but at some stage you have to decide and commit to one of those gifts and put that out into the world. And the third, in the same train as that, would be to be intentional and deliberate in how you do that. So, for example, let me just give my own example. Start with a natural gift of speaking. We have an oral language. Māori have an oral language. The way we communicated was actually through words, through spoken word. We didn't have books back in the day. My ancestors didn't have that. So the way we expressed ourselves was through different markings like this, and like the Ignite Your Gift and the tohus around me, the signage around me. But it was also through sharing and connecting. And so when I realized that the way I share and connect was to be able to stand in my own story of who I am as a Māori woman from Aotearoa, New Zealand, and my cultural experiences and upbringing, and add value to be able to give others, you know, almost like a mirror of how does this resonate with me? Are we the same? Are we different? Then I was able to really decide and commit to keep sharing more of that. And then that last part, being intentional about it, is being focused on the thing. So dialed in, so focused on the thing that you want to share. So for me at this time, like I said, it's my book. I'm able to call myself an author now, but the book for me is so much more than that. It's about sharing some of those cultural gems with you and with the rest of the world, but also those here locally. So it becomes what we call a taonga, a gift to share with others. And That's me operating in my gift, because it allows me to do what I do the best. And so my imparting imprint for you is to, one, find your gift, the thing you do with the least amount of effort. Number two, decide and commit, bring some focus to one of those things. And then three, be intentional and deliberate about how you put that out into the world.
And what a perfect segue, right? What a perfect segue. What I'd like to, for you to do now is to please tell us all of the places and spaces that we can contact, follow, support, book, purchase, all of that stuff. Please share that with us.
I appreciate that so much. First and foremost, Brooklyn Builds a Bridge, the book. You can go to brooklynbuildsabridge.com. It's brooklynbuildsabridge.com. And purchase the book directly there. It's open for pre-orders. It's $30 New Zealand. So that's really, you know, it's really competitive pricing. And they'll be delivered within 6 to 12 weeks. And then you can hit me up on igniteyourgift.com or 120legacy.com. And you'll have access to everything I do, speaker sheets, all about me, the services that I offer, IG, Stacey Marero Roberts on IG, or Inspired Māori NZ. And yeah, I'd love to connect, stay connected through Abby, if that's how you reach me. Otherwise, you can hit me direct on those.
What a wonderful thing. Now, I can't get off of this without mentioning how we even cross paths. So shout out to our Deeper Than the Brand family. Shout out to the I2M family. That community really is a community, and it brought us together to be able to have this wonderful conversation. So I implore you all to check it out if you are a business or a personal brand looking to level up pretty much your business or anything that you're doing, be it content or whatnot. Please look into that, because we truly are a community, a family, helping, inspiring, and leveraging the relationships that we have with one another. So that is how I was able to link up with Stacey, and we're continuing our conversation on today. So please, y'all, go hit her up this way, hit her up, purchase the book Brooklyn Builds a Bridge. It's going to be wonderful. Continue to get these tips, and so I just want to thank you once again, Stacey. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Abby, and absolutely shouting out our international fam. Oh, Deeper Than the Brand, like taking our ideas to, you know, new levels and bringing us together. We truly are a worldwide family, a community. And as we always say on our calls, you know, you're my international cousins. Like, I'm your cousin down here. We're such a family, and that vibe, like, that's just on another level.
Well, listen, folks, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Modern Day Unicorns. If you are a unicorn or you know somebody that is, please, I'd love to have a conversation with them. Feel free to comment below or DM. You can also follow us on all platforms at Modern Day Unicorns. So you know what I'm going to say next. Until next time, we will see you.